Okay, so we're still in the Shar Hanadivus. We're up to the paragraph Va'nosin Tzedak Alaniyim. So most of what we're going to learn today is not only about Nadivus, is not really about Nadivus in general, but it's particularly about the mitzvah of tzedakah. So very often people at your age don't think much about the mitzvah of tzedakah because how much money do you have already? But you should realize that these are the kinds of things that are very worthwhile training yourself at a young age in the proper mindset, because it's somehow beneficial to think about how to be a giver and how to give tzedakah and how to do it properly before you're in a position where you have a lot of money, because it's before the Yetzer Hara comes. Once you have the Yetzer Hara, when you start forming your opinions and your views and your behaviors, once you already have a Yetzer Hara in the other direction, so that could be very, very challenging. But it's very beneficial if you manage to preempt the Yetzer Hara. If you could figure out your attitudes towards tzedakah and the proper way that it should be given before you start making money, before you really have a lot of tzedakah to give, it's extremely, extremely valuable. So let's keep that in mind as we go through the Orach Tzaddikim's explanation of how to give tzedakah in the best possible way. If a person gives tzedakah with a nasty countenance, he looks at the person in a negative way and he makes the person feel bad for taking the money. So you lose the entire zuchus of the tzedakah. Even if you gave a lot of money, you could have written the guy a massive check, but you made the person feel terrible about it, so you lost your entire zuchus. It's a violation of a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, so it's really astonishing, because you would imagine that at the end of the day, the ani needs money, right? He needs to put food on the table, and that's why he's collecting the tzedakah. So I would think, if I write him a check that will support him for the next month, even if I made him feel really bad, I would think that what do you mean I lose that tzuchus? He's going to be supporting himself for the next month based on what I gave him. Why would I lose that tzuchus? It's ki'ilu. It makes it sound like you're better off not giving him anything than giving him and making him feel bad. So what you have to keep in mind as we go through the entire union of tzedakah is what we mentioned based on that Gemara Masechet Bava Basra, that when we're giving tzedakah, Hashem doesn't need us to give this guy tzedakah, meaning Hashem could take care of this person. Hashem could do anything. And if we're not going to give him, he's going to get whatever it was determined on Rosh Hashanah he's supposed to get, and it will come through some other avenue. He'll find, instead of me giving him $20, he'll find a $20 bill on the street. So something else will happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it happen. The whole purpose of tzedakah is so that I could be the beneficiary of being the one who gets that zuchus to be able to give him. It's one of the most beautiful expressions that I get to hear on a consistent basis whenever I have to raise money for somebody in need. So I'll ask people who have the ability to help, and I'll say thank you very much, when they graciously agree to help, and they say no, thank you for the opportunity, thank you for the zchus, because they realize, meaning that expression, thank you for the opportunity, thank you for the zchus, they realize you shouldn't be thanking me, this person's going to be taken care of anyway, but I know that I've been given a zchus now, because I've been given the opportunity to give, and by giving the opportunity to give, so that's really, meaning it's very giver focused and not recipient focused in a certain sense, because the recipient is going to be fine, the recipient will be as fine as he will be, the question is how will the giver be, and if the giver gives with a sever panim ra'os, the giver is not okay, then he's not doing what he ought to be doing. Furthermore, just al pi derech hateva, even if you give a person a lot of money but you make him feel bad about himself, so just feeling bad about yourself will often set a person back in their ability to be productive, their ability to be successful. A lot of a person's success is their confidence, their feeling that they can accomplish. And if a person feels like they're a nobody, so even though you gave him, what'd you give him? You gave him a check right now, you gave him a few dollars right now, so that'll cover him for today. But to build the person is going to be, it's like, what is it, teach a man to fish or give a man, or something like that. I mean, you build the person, you give him something, you make him a gavra, so that's gonna promote his future success. So if you're knocking the guy down as you give him money, yeah, you took care of him for today, but you've taken away like his sense of self and what he can become. So a person should be, and very often people overvalue what money says about a person, right? They think that if someone is wealthy, then it means that that person is successful. We use that term all the time, right, throughout society. Successful always means rich, which is, you know, troubling in its own right, that we assume that that's the definition of success, and we assume that if a person's poor, even though we don't say it, but subconsciously, we assume if a person's poor, yeah, it's because he's a lo yitzlach. It's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing him atzlach right now. It's because he is a lo yitzlach. He is someone who doesn't succeed. He is someone that is either his fault, or he's a nobody, or he's not skilled, he's not talented. I mean, we forget about the fact that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam that runs the world. And sometimes you have people that, you know, by the grace of God, you know, this person is successful, and that person is not successful. And it has nothing to do with their own innate abilities. It has nothing to do with their own innate intelligence. It has nothing to do with their efforts. Very often, it's just that one person found Hatzlacha. You know, he invested in the right thing at the right time, and one person didn't find Hatzlacha. He invested in the wrong thing at the wrong time, or pursued the wrong. You know, and it just works out that way. So a person shouldn't respect someone who's poor any less than you respect someone who's wealthy. A person shouldn't pay attention to somebody who's poor any less than you pay attention to somebody who's wealthy. You know, my father always tells us that when a person is crazy, they call him crazy. Unless he's rich, then they call him eccentric, right? Meaning, why is that? Because if he's rich, how can you call him crazy, right? He's eccentric. But if he's, meaning we tend to overvalue you know, what money says about a person. And adrabba, we have to, because we have that tendency, we have to fight hard in the other direction. We have to push ourselves to treat those who are poor with a greater sense of dignity and a greater sense of respect, because they're likely not getting it anywhere else. They're very likely not getting that sense of respect and dignity anywhere else. V'tov mimenu, better than giving a person a big check with sefer panim ra'os, is hanosin pruta b'sefer panim yafos, is to give somebody a pruta, even if you're not giving him much, but do a sefer panim yafos. You know, part of sefer panim yafos is listening to the person. Sometimes people don't even need money. They just need to be listened to. They have no one to talk to. There's no one that listens to them. So just to sit and listen, just to give a listening ear. You know, Rav Meir Tversky Shlita said about his brother, Zechasad Mekadosh Lebracha, Rav Moshe Tversky, by the way, if you ever need some chizik and to really hear what like a tzaddik, you know, is like, listen to Rav Meir Tversky's Hespedim. He gave a few of them for his brother. The descriptions of Rav Meir Tversky is just unbelievable, not only because of the terrible circumstances of his death, but just like the description of who the person was. So he said it's unbelievable. One of the unbelievable things about his brother was that Rav Meir Tversky was the most intense person you can imagine, and normally intense people make other people around them nervous, right? Meaning they're so intense, and it's just like, you know, like, just a little scared to be around them. He said he had this calming influence on everybody around him. And part of it was that when he was talking to you, you never got the impression that, like, but you're pulling me away from, you know, what I really need to be doing. I really need to be learning right now. I really need to be writing right now. I really need to be there. I mean, he never wasted a second. Every second was accounted for. So you would think when he's talking to you and you're just going on and on, that like that he would be, that you'd start getting those vibes of like, you know, he's trying to pull. But no, when he was talking to you, it was completely focused on the person. He just lent a listening ear. Why? Because it's not that he was you know, a big masmid or a big rachaman or a big, it's that he was never Hashem, and when Hashem wanted him to be listening to a person, he was listening to a person with all of his kochos, and when Hashem wanted him to be learning, he was learning with all of his kochos. And that's a tremendous madrega, obviously, but very often that's all a person needs. Now, I was just listening to an interview with Mendy Reiner. Anyone, you know who Mendy Reiner is? You know who Mendy Reiner is. Mendy Reiner is the founder of an organization called Renewal. It's an organization that's very close to my heart and my kidney. Renewal is an organization of kidney donors. So how did Mendy Reiner start? He's a Hasidish guy from Borough Park. Not like a, you know, like a, I don't know, a Heimish, I'm guessing, Hungarian type guy from Borough Park. How did he get involved in kidney donation? He's not even a kidney donor because he has a heart condition. He's not eligible to be a kidney donor. So how did he get involved with kidney donation? He was sitting, he was in a business meeting with someone, and a guy walks into the office, and he said, the guy looked like Gehenna. The guy looked like he was half dead. And so he right away, he sees a guy walk into the office. He's obviously collecting. He takes out $40 from his wallet, and he hands the guy $40. And the guy says, put away your money. I don't want your $40. I need you to listen to me. He said, I'm going to die if I don't get a kidney. I need a kidney. And I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Anything you could do to help me. $40 is not going to help me. And he said he just started talking to the guy. And he kept in touch with him. And he had a long conversation with him. And he started thinking, you know what? We should find people who are willing to give kidneys. Now, you have no idea how crazy that sounded back in the... Nowadays, you know, yeah, oh, my Rebbe did it, my Rabbi did it, my neighbor did it, my this, you know, like, yeah, everyone knows, like, 5 kidney donors, right? Or probably, you know, 20, you just, 15 of them are quiet about it. You know, but like, at that time, that was crazy. No one's gonna do that. And he went to organizations, and he said, you know, maybe as part of your organization, we could promote kidney. And they said, you're crazy. Nobody's gonna do that. Nobody's gonna give a piece of themselves. But he kept at it. And now, I mean, what he's done, what's the amount of lives that he saves every year with kidney, it's unbelievable. He saves hundreds of lives a year. It's really, really wild. But why? Why did that? How is he zocha? Megalgul mitzuchos alidezakai. How is he zocha to that? Because he listened. He didn't just say, here's $40. And the guy said, I don't want your $40. And then just say, okay, so you don't want my $40. Oh, what kind of chutzpah? He doesn't want my $40. Not enough for him. Just walk away. He listened. He listened to the guy. He had a conversation with the guy. So when he had a conversation with the guy, so that's why. Megalgulin Zechus Alidei Zakai. That's why he was able to be the enabler of so much good. So that's part of Sefer Panim Yafos, is to just give a listening ear. V'tov mehen, and better than that, hanosin karo'i la'ani haro'i v'sefer panim yafos. Even better than being nice to the person is giving him everything he needs while being nice to him. Meaning, is it better to give him a pruta and be nice to him than give him everything he needs while being mean to him? But even better than that is give him everything he needs while being nice to him. V'tov shi'itin kodim shi'ishal. And it's even better to give before someone asks. Meaning, that's a sign of a sensitive soul. If you look around and you try to search out the need, you know, it's the person who thinks that prices are going up, and therefore, you know, in a certain area, it's the person who calls me before the summer every year and says, I know that there are people that are struggling who can't afford summer camp for their children. I'd like to help pay for summer camp for their children, because while it may seem like a luxury in America, it's a necessity, because what are kids going to do the whole summer? In Israel, kids, you know, run around the streets and do whatever they do for the whole summer, and somehow they remain entertained. But, you know, in America, it's like an absolute necessity. But someone who thinks about it, doesn't wait for someone to come, just thinks about it, where's the need going to be, and preempts it. V'tov shi'itin b'seser. It's even better to give secretly, to give when nobody knows that you're the one that's giving. So, and by the way, those two fit with each other. Meaning, it's much harder to give b'seser if the person already had to ask. Meaning, because if the person already had to ask, they know who they asked. So they know likely where it's coming from. It's likely coming from the person that they expressed it to. But if they never even had to express it, they never even had to express the need, and you've already figured out the need, so then it's much easier to give it, to give b'seser. D'chsiv matan b'seser yichba'af. The way to keep away Hashem's anger is by giving b'seser, is by giving secretly. It's so much easier nowadays to give secretly, now that funds are transferred electronically, and we have all these organizations that, you know, that facilitate giving. So the person thinks they're getting from an organization. They know that the organization doesn't print money. Obviously, it's from donors, but they have no idea who the donors are, right? So there's always ways. Or every shul charity fund. They know the shul isn't. It's not that the shul is printing money. It's that there are people that are giving to the charity fund within the shul, and then the rabbi is distributing, or whoever's in charge of the charity fund is distributing the money. So it's matan b'seser. V'yesho yukoshim bebegin v'zorkom lachareim v'bam ani v'notim. The Gemara in Ksubas Tav Samach Zayin is one of the big Tzedakah sugyas in Shas says that one of the Amoraim would tie he would have his money in a bag, an open bag, have an open backpack hanging off his back with money hanging on the back, and he would just walk down the street and people would come up, sneak up behind him and just take the money out. People who needed, I guess he trusted that, you know, that only people who needed would take, and that others would not take. It's like you have these stores that look like a regular store and people can go shopping. The only thing is, you just don't charge money, you know, for buying things. So it's like you could just walk in and you don't have to feel like you're you know, you feel a certain sense of dignity that you get to go shopping like regular people. So that's also the whole idea of matan b'seisr is to preserve the person's dignity. The whole idea of not waiting for the person to ask is to preserve the person's dignity, because once a person has to ask, they lost a little bit of dignity. Once the person becomes comfortable asking, they've lost a lot of dignity. Meaning that's a really, it should never get to that point. Meaning if a person feels comfortable asking because that's what they do and that's what they've had to do for so long, so that's a tremendous loss of human dignity and of self-respect. Right, the whole point is that the ani won't be mispayish, that he won't be embarrassed. Kol shodaver, kol ma sheyachol lahastir shlo yeda ani miyo anosim shlo yeda anosim miyo mekabel yesh lahastir. To the extent possible, it's not always possible, but to the extent possible, if the person doesn't know who he's getting from and the person who's giving doesn't know who he's giving it to, that is the highest level of tzedakah. That is the greatest level of tzedakah. And again, it is easy to do that nowadays. Just had this week a chassan and kala who are getting married soon. The chassan called me up and he said, look, I'm not a rich guy. I'm not like a wealthy person. He's a young guy, whatever he is. He's 23 years old or whatever. You know, he's not like a rich guy. He said, but, you know, I've worked in summers and this and that. So I have a couple of $1,000. So I figured the best way to start off my marriage is to help someone else, you know, who can't afford to make a wedding, to help pay toward Hachnasas Kala for someone who can't afford it. So he asked, like, is there someone that I can give it to? Who, you know, I just don't know where to go. Like, I don't know who, you know, you just, like, take out an ad. Anyone need help making a wedding? They'll get, like, you know, half of the 5,000 dinar. They'll be like, oh, I could do some help, you know? that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for someone that, like, you know, that really needs. So very easy. For me, it's very easy to find that person. Rav David Willig is constantly doing Hachnas Haskala. He's constantly making chasanas for people in Eretz Yisrael. So one text to Rav David Willig, you have any chasanam calls, oh, I got lots of customers for you. Okay, great. And then you make the shidduch. And they're able to, so the person giving has no idea who he's giving to, but he knows that he's giving something meaningful. And that's also a very meaningful thing, that when a person themselves is experiencing a certain bracha in their lives, to think about others who maybe don't have as easy a time experiencing that bracha. Meaning when people go through, I've mentioned in the past, when someone makes a beautiful yontif for their family, they're spending God knows what and taking their family to a hotel for Pesach or something. So how many people reach out and say, I want to make a nice yontif for somebody else? Not necessarily in a hotel or whatever, but just to buy them their needs for yontif. Because if I'm going to make a nice yontif for my family, let another family have a nice yontif. A person has a healthy baby, so I want to help, I want to give to fertility organizations or whatever, for people who don't have the ability to have a healthy baby. Person is getting married, so I want to be able to pay for Achnas Eskala. Meaning that's the tzedakah is so much more meaningful when it helps you appreciate your own brachos. Meaning because you could appreciate your own brachos much, much more when you realize at the time of your bracha, at the time of your simcha, that it doesn't come as easily for everybody, that not everybody has that same bracha. And that's a very meaningful way to give tzedakah, and it's very easy to give it in a matan b'seser kind of way. And that's always that's always the name of the game, to try to give it in a matan b'seser kind of way. Okay.